Amen, amen. I just want to welcome you. My name is Josh, one of the pastors here, and it's just such a joy and an honor to get to do this. It's really a privilege that we all get to be a part of watching people's lives changed by the gospel of Jesus Christ. Not by a cool church, not by a mission statement, not by a slogan, not by people, but by the gospel of Jesus, by the Spirit of God, which transforms us and sets us free. So, man, just what an incredible testimony and testament to what God is doing here in this house and throughout, right? We saw 14 high school football players at Jones County get baptized last Friday before school. So, man, this is not just happening here, and we don't just pray for baptisms and new life here. We're praying that every church would grow, that every church would come, would see people saved and set free today and every day of the week, and that we would just see revival sweep this place. And if it happens at another church, we're going to praise God. If it happens here, we're going to praise God and figure out how to handle it. Amen? So, man, what an awesome thing. And today, we're going to really talk about this. So if it's your first time, you get a sneak peek into some of our vision, some of our heartbeat. Today's kind of a vision Sunday. We just finished up our 21 days of prayer. In my 6 a.m., 21 days of prayer, people in here? Just a few, man, what an amazing time that we had in 21 days of prayer. And I pray that you were able to, you were blessed by the reading plan, by the prayer that the prayer times we had. And you became more aware of the presence of God in your life, more aware of his plans for your life, and more aware of the people that God has put around you. Last week, we launched community groups. I think over 30 people signed up for community groups, which puts us right at the 200 mark of people who are in midweek discipleship. So just an awesome, awesome thing that we get to be a part of. And this is all, we just celebrated last night. We dedicated the land that God gave to us to close out our 21 days of prayer and to really step us into year 2 of our Whatever It Takes initiative. So 1 year ago, and this is what we're gonna talk about today, I'm gonna give you an update and a really quick rundown of what Whatever It Takes is. This is our 2-year discipleship journey. And I'm gonna give you today a really quick overview of what Whatever It Takes is, but also we're gonna look back and celebrate what God has done. Psalm 78 says that we'll look back, the generations will look back and we'll tell of the work of God so that God will receive glory. So that's what we're gonna do today. We're gonna glorify God because of what he's done, and then we're gonna look forward with some vision, because the Bible says without vision, the people will run wild. And so God has given us great vision. We're gonna step into that today. And really a lot of our Whatever It Takes initiative, which is our 2-year journey. I'm going to teach you about what this is. If you're new, if you've been here for a year, you've probably heard about some of this. And if you want to follow along with it or read more about it, you can tap your phone on that seat back in front of you. There's some notes there for you. But really where this comes from and the heartbeat of this is from 2 Corinthians chapter 5. And in 2 Corinthians chapter 5, Paul is writing about how Jesus died once for everybody, right? He died so that we all could be set free. And because of his death, in his resurrection, if we receive Jesus, we accept Jesus into our life, we live a new life. We no longer live for ourselves, but we live for Jesus, right? We live for Jesus. So these 12 people, right? Most of them high school students and middle school students are declaring, I want to live for Jesus. They've been set free. They're walking in a new life. It doesn't mean we're perfect, right? We got steps to take. We got a journey of salvation to walk on. And 2 Corinthians 5, Paul's writing about that journey. And part of that journey, God sent Jesus to be the aid. He was the one to bring reconciliation between us and God, to bring us back into relationship with God, to put that back together. That was Jesus' purpose on the earth. And then Jesus, in his infinite wisdom, right? And we don't fully understand this. In his infinite wisdom, he took that mandate that he was given to bring reconciliation, and he gave it to the church. He gave it to you and I. He raised us up. He gave us new life, and then he gave us purpose to know God and make God known. And so Whatever It Takes is a journey that we're on for 2 years to learn what that means. How do we become ambassadors of Jesus? How do we minister this ministry of reconciliation that God has given us? How do we know God and make God known? So that's our heartbeat. That's our mission as a church. And you're going to get a glimpse of that today. And the main question we're asking ourselves in this 2-year discipleship journey is, are we willing to do whatever it takes until all know who Jesus is? Originally, when we released this question, we said, are we willing to do whatever it takes until all of Jones County knows Jesus? And we know that God has expanded that. God is growing that opportunity. He's expanding this already. It's like, it's not just about Jones County. It's about all people coming to know Jesus. And he's invited us into this ministry of Jesus, of reconciliation, to take part in. And so we're on this 2-year journey to look inward, to look at ourselves and say, am I really willing to do whatever it takes? I mean, think about that right now. Are you willing to give up everything to proclaim the gospel of Jesus? If Jesus has set you free and he's given you new life and you're no longer your old self, but you're a new person, doesn't mean you're perfect, but you're no longer who you used to be, right? And you're on a journey to become more like Jesus. Are you willing to give up everything so that someone else can have the same opportunity? So that someone else can find forgiveness for their sin? So that someone else can find relationship with God to know him? So that someone else can be set free to live a new life? So that someone else can discover their purpose? Are you willing to do whatever it takes? Is there any area of your life right now that you're like, God, you can have everything but that one? Are there things in your life you're not willing to give up? I think we all have those things, right? And God continually reveals those things to us. And on this journey for 2 years, we're gonna learn what those are and learn to give them away. And so last night, or right now, really, because the end of this 20 minutes of prayer, when we launched last year, last August, our Whatever It Takes initiative, we're 1 year into this 2-year initiative. And there was really two goals in that. And the primary goal of it, though, is discipleship, is that we would see 100% of people take next steps and go all in with everything Great Community Church. Our desire as a church, we believe that salvation is a process. It happens in a moment, right? Jesus saves you and sets you free in a moment. He gives you new life and eternal life in God. But then there's a journey of learning how to follow him. Anybody in the room get saved and had it figured out on day one? Nobody? I'm surprised. Not really, right? I didn't have it together on day one. I still don't have it all together. There's a journey that I'm walking on, and the only way to grow in that journey is to keep showing up. Keep showing up and hearing what God's word says. Keep showing up and pray. Keep showing up and go to group. Keep showing up to church. Keep showing up to these places and allow God to transform your life. And so our number one goal over this 2-year initiative is that 100% of people would participate in all things Great Community Church. That's all the things that we already do as a church and the things that God is leading us into. So when we launched this 2-year initiative, some people thought this was just about raising money, and it's not it at all. I would rather see you discipled. Amen. If we had all the money in the world, but nobody was getting saved and taking next steps, we just might as well not do anything, because we're here to see people take next steps and for Jesus to get glory because of that. So our primary goal is discipleship, that 100% of people would participate in doing whatever it takes to know God, right? So this discipleship for us is that we would do whatever it takes to know God. And discipleship is a Christian word. The word disciple means follower. A disciple is someone who follows someone, and discipleship is becoming like the person you follow or like the thing that you follow. You're being discipled by something, whether you want to or not. Everything around you that you consume is shaping who you are. That Dairy Queen that I ate at 9 o'clock last night is shaping who I am. Come on, somebody. We're praying for those calories to go away. Everything you consume physically shapes who you are, but also everything you consume in the spiritual shapes who you are. The thing that you fill your mind with makes its way to your heart, and your heart becomes more and more corrupt. I say it like this to some of our men. Show me who your 5 closest friends are, and I'll show you who you're going to become. Students in the room, show me who your 5 closest friends are that you're listening to, and I'll show you who you'll become. Show me your algorithm on social media, and I'll show you who you'll become. If you're like me, I figured out how to manipulate the algorithms on social media. You know, the longer you look at something, the more of those things that the social media will put on your feed. So like if you're watching something and you see this weird like how to garden, right? You're gonna start getting more gardening videos because you watched it for a long time. But if you just swipe away, it goes away. So you can manipulate the things that you see. So like for me, my Facebook is all full of funny stuff because I like to laugh. The Bible says laughter is good medicine. So I like to find good funny stuff, good humor, right? Not the kind the Bible says don't participate in, but good humor. Then my Instagram is all full of like preaching reels. I've seen all these ministries and what they're doing and how they're moving, how God's moving among them. Then my TikTok is gardening TikTok of all things, because I inherited a garden that I don't know how to take care of it. Someone planted this garden, it's all fruitful, and then next thing I know, it's overgrown and overtaken. I don't know what to do about it. I'm real tempted to just ride the lawnmower right through it. So I'm trying to learn how to do it. I'm manipulating these things because they shape who you are, right? The things that you consume, they shape who you are. So when you get in the Word of God and it gets into your heart, the Bible says that it will actually, it is sharper than any two-edged sword. It's living and active, and it'll pierce bone and marrow. It'll get so deep in your life and ingrained in you, it'll shape who you are and it'll transform you. Romans 12 says to be do not be conformed to the patterns of this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. And that's true worship. And that happens when you keep showing up and you allow it to transform who you are. So our number one goal in whatever it takes is that we would all participate to do whatever it takes to know God. What does that mean? I'm willing to do it. I'm giving up anything that's not of Jesus. I'm giving up the things in my life that aren't leading me to him. So I'm asking God, show me what those things are, remove them from me, and replace them with your Holy Spirit. I'm doing whatever it takes to get in the room for church. I'm doing whatever it takes to get in community group. I'm doing whatever it takes to find whoever I can that's gonna lead me to Jesus. That's what 100% participation is all about. That's what whatever it takes to know God is all about. And if we don't get this one right, the rest of what I'm gonna talk about today doesn't matter. It really don't, and I really believe this. I really do. You're going to see some passion and conviction today and also some celebration because people since August 1st have been doing this. They've been accepting this challenge. And as of August 1st, 2025, so we're 1 year into this Whatever It Takes initiative, we have 199 people who are actively showing up to community group every week. Going to group every week. So that's 199 people and families who said, you know what, we're going to go all in, we're going to get in a group, and we're going to talk about what God's doing in our life. And our vision, our mission as a church is that we would see a community group on every street in every neighborhood in Jones County. I long for that. I want to see it because I think that's how this place gets transformed. 199 people have said yes to that. I'm waiting for number 200. The flesh in me, when I was putting this in, I was like, I'm about to write 200 because this is an even number. And it just sounds better. But then God said, no, don't lie. No, preachers fluff the numbers sometimes, but he wouldn't let me do it. 199 people. I'm waiting for number 200. Maybe number 200 will sign up today and get in a group. 193 people are actively serving on our serve team every week at Great Community Church. 193 people showing up and saying, you know what? I'll get here at 8 o'clock on a Sunday morning to pour into you and make this place ready and available. We had a serve team last night. We had our worship out on the property, and it was hot, right? But hell's hotter than that. But it was still hot out there, right? And we finished worship about 7 o'clock. Took about 1 hour and 10 minutes to finish cleaning up. About 8:10, everybody went to Dairy Queen, showed up here at 9 o'clock to get ready as an act of worship so that you can worship here today. We have serve teams that do that, that say yes, and we're willing to do whatever it takes so that people can know who God is. And so 193 people serving. I'm waiting for the next 7 to sign up so that can be 200 too. I'd love a good even number. Another thing, because part of whatever it takes and part of what Jesus talks about in discipleship, and we're gonna hit some money stuff today, and some of you are like, that's my first time you're going to talk about money. Jesus talks more about money in the New Testament than he talks about heaven and hell combined. Did you know that? Do you want to know why? Because money has a grip on your heart. And Jesus will not compete for your worship or your attention. And he wants to be your only source. You know, it's amazing. We'll trust Jesus with our eternal destiny, but we won't trust him with our bank account. Isn't that silly? 190 people are part of this discipleship journey. So we give and we're generous and we practice generosity because it shapes our heart. Makes us trust God and we grow closer to him. 190 households have said yes and participated financially in this Whatever It Takes initiative. 190 households have said yes, I'm gonna do whatever it takes, even with the things that I worked really hard to earn. And you know, giving to God is really, it's kind of, David talks about this in 1 Chronicles. We used this scripture last night. He owns everything anyway. He doesn't need you to give anything. His ask for you is an invitation to take part in what he's already doing. And so we do that, we make kingdom investments. The first victory of whatever it takes is it has nothing to do with a property, though that's part of it. It's a people becoming more surrendered to Jesus, trusting Jesus more, becoming more like Jesus in every area of our life, every single one. And I'm willing to do whatever it takes so he can have every area of my life. And if I had time today, I could give you testimony after testimony from the last year of families who came up to me and said, Pastor Josh, we said yes, we got in a group, and now our life's transformed. We had 40 men at the property yesterday morning for a men's breakfast where one guy shared his testimony. He got baptized a few months back. God has really accelerated him. He's helping lead a community group now, and he gave his testimony. He said, my life changed not because I'm perfect or I did anything. I just went to community group. Someone invited me to community group, and my life got transformed, not because I went to dinner at Ben's house, but because we talked about the Bible together. And they called me out, and they showed me a new way, and they invited me into a new life, and his life has been transformed. The families who have come to me and said, we started giving for the first time and trying to trust God with our finances, and now we're out of debt. You perked up, didn't you? The amount of people in our world today who are just drowning in debt, a slave to the lender is what Jesus says. We become a slave to the lender so we can't be obedient to God. And people have started to trust God with their finances, and God is setting them free from debt. And that doesn't mean they're making more money or he's just magically paying it off. They're getting their heart right about money, and so they're able to get out of that so they can say yes to Jesus more. And that's what this is, and that's what we're trying to learn how to do. And so our yes on the table is changing people, is changing our lives. The yes that we give to God in discipleship and in whatever it takes to know him is changing our lives. So our primary goal is discipleship. And a part of what God has asked us to do is not just to disciple people, but to continue to build his kingdom here. Not our kingdom, but his. And so there is a financial component to whatever it takes, and it feeds the other three goals that we have set as a church in the mission. But that goal, that secondary goal that we have was $2.25 million over 2 years to accomplish a lot of things. That number could have been a whole lot higher. It probably could have been a whole lot less if we operated without faith, but this is the number God told us to operate in. And this number, this $2.25 million over 2 years, it funds Kingdom Impact, which is our annual budget for 2 years, is included in that. And then it's also multiplication, where we're taking steps of faith to support new outreach and new ministry and really moving forward to raise up leaders. And then it's legacy, which is our building project, which is what God has allowed us to do. It's the land that we got to purchase debt free. It's the building that we're going to put on there. It's the hub that's going to become the place that Great Community Church builds leaders and sends them out, makes disciples who go and make disciples. And so we're stepping into that, and that secondary goal was 2.25, but inside of that, there's three initiatives, there's three things that we're doing to make that happen, to make it worth it. And the first one is Kingdom Impact. Not only are we doing whatever it takes to know God by discipleship, but we take that message of new life that Jesus has given us, and we give it away. We do whatever it takes to make God known because he's transformed our life. And the closer I've grown to Jesus, the more I realize I don't deserve to know Jesus because I know me. I know the things that are in me, and God keeps revealing more things in me that I didn't realize were there or were a problem. And I realize how much more I need him. And then I see all these people in our world that just need Jesus. Man, if people could just get relationship with Jesus, half of the problems they face would go away. If they would get their heart right with God and trust him and stop trying to take control of everything and allow God to be in control, who's the creator of the universe and wants to do it. If we would just trust him with that, our life would be different. And so we have this great desire to do whatever it takes to make God known. And the fruit of that, right, those serve teams that come, those people getting in groups, those people who are being discipled, some of the fruit of that is in the last year, since August of 2025, at Great Community Church, we've seen 80 people say yes to Jesus and fill out a card to let us know they did it. 80 people. Come on. The Bible says that all of heaven rejoices when just one person gives their life to Jesus. We got 80. I think we need to give God more glory than what we just gave him. I think we need to celebrate a little bit more. 80 people who are not going to hell but will have eternal life in heaven with Jesus. That's a big deal. I was headed for hell, but he came and he rescued me. He set me free. 80 people were headed for hell, and Jesus said, nope, not today. Not today, Satan. And it's going to keep growing, and it's going to keep happening because we're going to keep doing whatever it takes, and God's going to keep pouring his spirit out. Because he says, the Bible says that God looks to and fro all over the earth to find people who are willing to do whatever it takes. And when they are, when we're willing to do whatever it takes, he pours out his spirit and he blesses it. And so we're going to keep seeing people come to know Jesus. 80 people have said yes to Jesus and filled out a card. And I always add that little caveat, filled out a card, because people raise their hand for salvation often. And we don't know who they are. If we don't know who they are, we can't write their name down. That's 80 people that we can track, that we can help take next steps. 55 of that 80 have been baptized. So they said yes to the next step of baptism and publicly declared to the world that they are saved and set free. Can we celebrate that too? 55 people. And that includes our 12 from today. So that includes our 12 from today. This next one also just rocks my world. It makes me want to let someone else preach next week so I can go serve. 326 different kids have been through our kids ministry since August of 2025. 326 different kids. You want to be shocked by another one? 247 of those kids were brand new to our church for the first time. That's a lot of kids. That's a lot of new kids. And we're gonna keep doing whatever it takes until all of Jones County knows Jesus. And if you look around this room right now, there aren't any seats in here. There's very few places to invite someone into. You go in our kids ministry, there's nowhere to put them. But luckily kids are small, so you can jam them in there. Teach them about Jesus. But if we're gonna keep doing whatever it takes, we gotta keep leading people. We gotta keep saying yes, gotta keep showing up, gotta keep serving, because I don't know who to turn away. I don't wanna turn anybody away. We'll sit on the aisle if we have to. If you're a ministry partner at Gray Community Church, I would tell you to sit on the aisle so someone else can have your seat. Because we're willing to do whatever it takes and to keep showing up and to keep saying yes and to keep leading people to know God, to have relationship with God. That's what he's called us here for. And if we're not doing that, what are we doing? What are we doing? And just the last year, we've invested over $70,000, not in our ministries, but in ministries outside of us doing outreach and pouring into our community. That's a big number of stuff that we're giving away, of outreach that we're doing. So our yes is changing our life, and our yes is reaching lost people. So as we keep saying yes to God, it's gonna change your life and it's gonna change someone else's life. I talk to so many people who go on mission trips and they get back and they say, I don't know how much I blessed those people, but it really blessed me. Because the Bible says it's better to give than receive. So when you say yes to making God known, it's gonna transform you. Our yes is changing our lives and it's reaching lost people. The third thing we're gonna do, so we're doing discipleship, we're doing kingdom impact, we're gonna do multiplication. Multiplication is raising up disciples who would then go out and make more disciples. Raising up leaders who will then go out and raise up new leaders. It's saying, hey, we're not gonna do all this by ourselves and get glory. We want Jesus to get glory, so we're gonna raise up a bunch of people to go and do it together. And we can't reach everybody. You can't reach everybody. One church can't reach everybody. So our desire, our heart is to raise up people that we can then say, okay, now you go and do this over there. You go to your workplace and preach the gospel. You go to your school and preach the gospel. You go to this side of town and plant a church. You go to that town and plant a church. You go over there overseas and do mission work. That's our desire, that's our heart. We don't wanna hoard everybody here, we wanna send them out so they can continue to make a difference. So we're gonna do whatever it takes to raise people up and send people out. And so part of that process, we have some discipleship and leadership pipelines. And the place that we kind of test this the most is our community groups. Community groups, we get in a group, we do life together, and then our leaders are being trained. We're teaching our leaders how to identify, oh, that person's really good at that. We should raise them up to do this. Right? And so we've had 24 people since August of 2025 say yes to leading or co-leading a new community group. That's amazing. That's amazing. And if you're in community group, you know we need more groups because they're full, really full. I think there were 18 adults in my group last week. And I teach our group leaders not to go over 12. Look at me. I'm willing to do whatever it takes. But we got to send them out. And we actually have two co-leaders in our group. So we're going to start two new groups in January from our group. I don't know if they knew that yet, but they are. 24 new group leaders. Also a part of multiplication is being intentional about pouring into that next generation. I showed you numbers, right, from our kids ministry. That's nursery to fifth grade. Part of our investment that we really weren't ready to hire a full-time person for this, but God said to, so we said yes. We hired a full-time student pastor. You just saw him baptize 7 people, didn't you? Our student ministry has grown from 15 kids to 60 in 3 weeks. That's amazing. Praise God for that. We praise God for that. And we're gonna keep pressing in. We're gonna keep leaning in. We're gonna keep doing whatever it takes until all of Jones County knows Jesus. And you know, most revivals throughout history, you know where they started? High schools. Middle schools and high schools, because kids are willing to say, I'm gonna do whatever it takes. There was a little baby right here on the front row. She was worshiping her heart out. Man, if we could just get a glimpse of that kind of fire for the Lord. Isn't it amazing we come out of the womb knowing who God is, wanting to worship him? It's just, it's part of who we are. But sin corrupts it. And so we have to give our lives to Jesus so he can train us up and lead us back into that. I'm praying for it. And I think that ministry is going to keep growing. Imagine you plan something, you go from 15 to, and then the next week you show up, there's 45 of them there, running around, smelly, playing outside, talking all, and he's trying to teach them how to learn how to love Jesus. And then the next week it's 60. They're telling what it'll be tonight. We got to raise up a team for it. We got to raise up leaders. And our student pastor's doing a great job raising up leaders for that. We got 7 people in our church right now who are exploring a call to ministry. Who said, yeah, praise God for that. 7 people who are doing whatever it takes to know God and feel this burden on their heart to share that with people and to transform their life to do it. And some of those are 14, 15, 16-year-olds who feel a call to ministry, a stirring in their heart, and you're thinking, that's way too young. The disciples, when Jesus called them, were teenagers. When Jesus called me to ministry, I was a teenager. Teenagers can, man, they can change the world. They really can, but they need people around them to show them how to follow Jesus and show them how to lead. So we got 7 people exploring this call. 3 of those people have already said yes and are taking Bible classes to learn more about Jesus so they can teach people how to do it. That's incredible. We're really in an epidemic right now in the church in America. Pastors are retiring at an astronomical rate and no one else is being called to ministry. No one else is saying yes to a call to ministry. And you know what happens when you have more pastors leaving than coming in? You have no pastors. You have no one to lead the people. And Jesus looked on the crowds and had compassion on them because they were like sheep without a shepherd. People need a shepherd to show us where to go. We need more pastors and leaders. So we're going to do whatever it takes and invest whatever we have to invest to learn how to raise people up and send them out. Not to hoard all the leaders here, but to raise them up and send them out. Part of that, we've been able to support 4 missionary families that are overseas in missions right now. Some are in Tajikistan, some are in California, which isn't overseas, but it kind of feels like it. But they go overseas from California. She was here a few weeks ago with us. And another part of our initiative is part of the Wesleyan Church, which we are a part of, is planting churches in Zambia. Our district superintendent, he's our pastor. He's over in Zambia right now ministering to these church plants. And what we gave towards these church plants is already planted 1 church in Zambia in the last year. And there's 10, there's gonna be 10 total. So we'll get a report back from him that we'll share with you once he gets back, I think sometime around Labor Day. So we're doing whatever it takes. We're saying yes, and that yes is changing our lives. Our yes is reaching lost people, and our yes is raising people up. And we're already seeing this in 1 year, and there's still a whole year left to go. And you know what? You probably know me enough. We won't stop next August. We're gonna keep pressing the gas. And we're going to keep leaning in because people are dying and going to hell without it. And that means something. That means something. We got to lean in. Part of doing that and part of what I think is going to set us up for even greater future is our legacy project that's a part of this. Our legacy part of this goal, of this initiative, which is doing whatever it takes until all are saved. And this is financially, this is the most expensive part of that $2.25 million number that I showed you because it's buying property, which we already did in a year, and it's building a building on that property. And so it's going to be expensive, and it's getting us started with that. And people say, why do we need a building if we're doing so great portable? You ever been part of a portable church? It's a lot of work, but we're going to keep doing it. But when we get a building, I don't know. I'm not worshiping a building. I don't think a building's going to be the end-all, fix-all because we're still going to have problems. We're still going to be growing. We're still going to be leaning forward, but it's going to advance and accelerate the mission that God's given us. Because we're going to do it regardless, but it's going to accelerate the vision that God has given us. And it's amazing how it's all worked out. When Jordan and I were praying about planting a church and where we should go, we were riding around Gray. We were living in Dublin at the time, and we were riding around Gray, and we turned right at Ranchers, and Jordan looks on the hill, and she goes, there's going to be a church on that hill one day. I can see it right now. God gave her vision for it. I've had people in the community call me before they even knew we were getting that property and say, I feel like there's going to be a church on that hill. Look at that. God just gave us the hill. And there's going to be a church on it one day. And we got to worship on that land and dedicate it last night. What a beautiful thing. And so a church building, I heard a pastor say it like this. He said a church building is probably the single greatest long-term investment in the kingdom of God a generation of church members can make. Why? Because it's going to outlast us. We're going to pour into this. We're going to build a building and as a generation, and future generations are going to look back and go, how did this get here? And we're going to tell them these stories. We're going to tell them about these 12 people who got baptized. We're going to tell them about these people who gave their life to Jesus. We're going to tell them how God paid for this building, and we don't even know how. But he's going to do it. I believe he's going to do it. A church building, he keeps going, establishes a long-term beachhead for the advancement of the gospel. I love that language because that's war language. We're in a spiritual battle. and we're going to set up a beach. We're going to set up a hub. We're going to set up a place that's central for the advancement of the gospel in this region, unlike anything else. And the people who sacrifice to do it are something that will be a huge part in reaching their own children and grandchildren. We pour in to build legacy so that the people in the next generation, in the next generation, in the next generation can see it and know God and find freedom and start to discover their purpose, and they start making God known. And man, it's just going to transform this place. I really believe this. I really do. And I believe God's going to do some incredible stuff. So part of this was the biggest part, all right, of financially of the investment. And so we invited people to say yes to giving to God towards this, which is God's anyway, but giving and practicing tithing and generosity and learning how to do that so God could set their heart free. 61 households on our pledge Sunday last August, about a year ago from today, 61 different households pledged to say, I'm going to give for 2 years so that this thing can happen. I'm going to give for 2 years so that this thing can happen. And remember, we set a goal for $2.25 million. Our pledges, though, only brought in $1.2 million, which is incredible, right? This is not a disappointment. To be able to pledge that as a three-year-old church is a big deal. To be where we are as a church at 3 years old is a big deal. So we had that much that was pledged, and we're a year in to that, and after a year, $696,670 have been given towards that, and that's great percentages, right? We're 50% of the way, and 50% of the pledges have come in. That's incredible. Most people are not getting to see those types of results, but not only that, because, right, there's a gap there. The vision God gave us was 2.25 million, and that's not 2.25 million, so God, we need you to pour out. And we said, and we believe God said, if you'll say yes and you'll all participate, I'll multiply it. And he's been multiplying it because we actually have had $273,000 come in from people who didn't turn in the pledge card, who weren't members of Great Community Church at that point, who weren't saying yes to Jesus at that point. These numbers already came in. So that brings the total in the first year to $969,734 of the 2.25 million. And to do quick math for you, that's 43%. I'm not that great. I figured it out before we got here. 43%, and we're 50% of the way. We're on track. We're a little behind, but we're on track. And I don't know where all this is going to come from. I don't know how God's going to do it, but he's going to do it. And we're going to trust him with it because he asked us to do it, and we said yes. We took a leap of faith when people looked at us and said, it's probably a bad idea to set a goal you're not going to reach. With man, it's impossible, but with God, all things are possible. And we're not doing this for us. It's not for our glory. And we believe God sees our heart and our motive in that. And if you're skeptical of that, I'd love to show you. I'd love to get to know you so that you can see we're really trying to lean into this. This, you're probably asking, okay, what have we done with this $1 million that have come in, or right at $1 million? We've operated 1 year of our church budget to be able to continue to do what we do, because these things cost money and people need salaries and mission work and all the stuff we're doing and operational stuff. And would love to give you a budget if you need that or you want that. So it's funded 1 year of budget, and then we got another year of budget that's incorporated into that total. It has purchased a $500,000 piece of property that's already got some buildings on it that we're going to renovate. So that's debt-free. We've already done that, praise God. And then it's also started working. If you've ever done anything in construction, like architectural designs and renderings and plans, those things cost a lot of money, more than you think. It's like, you get it. It's like, why did this cost this much money? But it does, because those people are really good at what they do. And I'm the kind of person, like, we're not just going to DIY this thing. We're going to do the best we can. We're going to hire the best to do it in the best way possible and learn from the best. And so we've been able to get some plans and some renderings and some things. And actually last week we got some 3D renderings of what it's going to look like. You want to see it? You sure? Maybe we'll show you next week. All right, here's a couple images of what the future home of Great Community Church is going to look like up on Old Highway 18. Look at that. Thank you, Jesus. Some of these things may shift and change. These are not final designs, but they're really close. We're going to walk you through what is happening here and what this is. So, Braden, if you'll go to the next one, kind of get a little bit more front view of this. This building right here is already there. So this left side is where our kids are going to be. And This is actually the highest point of the building that's out there now. So if you ride up there and you want to get a picture of how big this is, you can see that there. This side right here will be kids' space. And then this middle part right here will be our lobby, which will walk all the way through. You can park and enter on both sides. And then we have this outdoor seating that's on a porch where you can do community and do life together. And then this bigger side right here is our sanctuary that'll seat a lot of people in there. And so we're excited about that. And this is actually phase one of what we believe God's going to do, because we think it's going to have to be bigger than that. And that sanctuary is actually going to be where our students wind up eventually. And so you got your outdoor seating here. You got your lobby. Go to the next one. You can kind of see some more of this left side. We got our kids space over here. We got a room that's being prepared for a special needs ministry, because we believe that God is calling us to that as well. And so all those classrooms are going to be prepared and ready for that. And so we got a bunch of classrooms for kids and all this space. Anybody getting excited by these? Let's go to the next one. So kind of make your way up to the lobby. You're getting ready to enter in, and praise God that this is an afternoon sun, because this is the shade coming this way, but the sun actually comes up over here. So this will be shaded in the morning, which will be great. Great place for people to gather and congregate. We'll take a step inside when you walk in. This is what you'll be looking at on the next slide. This is our lobby, which you can enter on both sides and park on both sides. Anybody excited about a good lobby where you can hang out with people? Then we have a cafe in there that where you can get your coffee in the morning on Sunday, or maybe throughout the week. Who knows? Maybe God's going to do something like that. So we have the lobby, the cafe, and all that that's in there. And I just love these people that's in here, because we're not just doing that. We're not just looking at buildings and floor plans and renderings. We're looking at people, places where marriages will be restored, places where kids will get to know Jesus, places where your grandkids will get to go and have fun and learn about God, places where people are going to find freedom. So next slide will be actually our place where we're going to worship together, our sanctuary where we'll gather together. Place where the gospel is going to be proclaimed, where people will be baptized and set free. My only problem with this photo is everybody's sitting down, because the Bible says we leap for joy in worship. We clap our hands. We shout for joy in the sanctuary. And I'm excited for us to get together in that sanctuary. Anybody excited about these? All right, we're going to take up an offering now. Just kidding. This is the future home of Great Community Church. And I can't wait to see where it goes. And this is phase one, right? God's going to continue to grow it. And not because we need to be better or bigger. It's because people are dying and going to hell, but they need a place to meet about Jesus so they can go to heaven. And he's asked us and trusted us to steward it. We're going to do the best we can. And we're going to keep saying yes. We're going to keep showing up. We're going to keep asking God to move in our midst and teach us how to be more like him. And that yes that we give is going to outlive us. So our yes is changing our life. Our yes is changing, is reaching lost people. Our yes is raising people up. And our yes is going to outlive us. It's going to go beyond who we are. It's going to last for generations. I can't wait to look at my grandkids one day and they ask us, man, how did that building get there? What, tell us about the days of set up, tear down at the skating rink. Tell us about the days of being at the Knox or worshiping outside when it's 100 degrees outside. Tell us about that. Tell us about all those people who got saved and baptized. Man, how did y'all pay for that? Tell us how God did that. I can't wait. I can't wait to tell them the story. So we've been in this for 1 year, right? And God's already doing all this incredible stuff. So what's left? What's next to do? I think year two is going to be about building his kingdom. I think year two is going to be about building the kingdom of God. And I think that also means building a building. Because some people have asked me, what's the timeline? Where we got to get to? Right now, we have about $200,000 in reserves, and we really want to be about the $500,000 or $600,000 mark so that when we get ready to make our down payment to take out a loan to build that. And my prayer is that we'll start construction, but then by the time we finish it, God's going to pay it off. That's what I'm praying for. That's what I'm stepping into, because we can be even more generous in mission. We can be even more generous in doing ministry. So we're waiting for that to come. I think we're about 200,000 of that 500,000. So we're just asking God to continue to multiply that. And maybe someone here today is like, I'd love to participate in that. What do we do next? How do we get to that place? Well, the first thing we need to do is pray. We need to pray and ask, what is God asking of me? And so I think there's three different types of people who may be here today. You may be here today and you were here and you made a commitment. You made a first and best give. You really sowed into this thing last year, and now you're a year in and you're doing great and you're staying up with your commitment. Praise God for that. Keep leaning in. Keep asking God, what's next for me? What's my next step? Where's my next yes? And keep leaning into that. I think you may also have some people in the room today who said yes and made a commitment, but something in their life just altered and shifted. Those commitment cards that we made, those pledges that we made, they're not a promissory note, right? They're not something that like, we're gonna knock on your door as a debt collector. They're an opportunity for you to join what God's doing. And if some things have shifted in your life and you need to change or alter that, go and do it, right? Our website is there. You got a card you're going to receive on the way out. You can do that and go back and look and reevaluate where you are. So I think you need to pray and ask God. The third type of people that I think may be here are people who showed up in the last year and you weren't here for when we started all this. And now you're learning about this and you're growing and God's showing it moving and you want to be a part. And the question I would ask you, I would tell you to ask God is, what's God asking of you? Where's God asking you to say yes? Maybe he's asking you to say yes to giving your life to Jesus for the first time. Maybe he's asking you to say yes to baptism. Maybe he's asking you to say yes to growth track and serve team or community group, or maybe he's asking you to say yes to giving financially and partnering with what he's doing. Whatever God's asking of you, I would encourage you to put your yes on the table and watch how he'll transform your life. So we want to pray and then we want to participate. We want to stay engaged with what God's doing. We want to keep showing up. That's what that means. We want to keep showing up and keep saying yes. And that's commitment. We want to commit. We want to take a step of faith and do what God's asking us to do. And I think when we do that, when we all say yes together, the possibilities are endless. One person can't do all this. But when everybody in the house of God does a little bit together, we all do our part, man, the possibilities are endless. And I believe God's going to keep doing some incredible, incredible stuff. So you're going to receive a card when you leave today that's got a couple pictures of the renderings on one side and then some next steps. Those three things will be on the back as well. And then there'll be some signs out in the lobby as well that you can go and see and get a closer picture of that. So maybe you didn't make it to the front row and you can't see as well like me. You'll be able to see those out there as well. So I'm going to ask our band to come up and our worship team to lead us in a time to close. And I know this wasn't one of those messages that's like, rah, rah, let's get saved today. But maybe this these pictures of baptism and the worship today touched your spirit. And you recognize I'm not in Christ Jesus and you want to give your life to him. We have some ministry partners who are down here and you can come and they'll pray with you or they'll pray over you. Or maybe you can pray right there in your seat to receive Christ into your heart and commit to follow him. And if you do that, would love to know that so we can take next steps with you. Maybe you're that 200th person who needs to get in community group. We got a tent outside. Would love to walk you through what it looks like to join a group. Or maybe you need to say yes to Growth Track, which is the first Sunday of every month so you can get on a serve team. Whatever God's doing in your heart. Maybe you got some things that God's asking you to repent of, some things that you've been doing that he told you to stop, but you haven't done it yet. Maybe today's the day to say yes to being obedient to God. Let's stand, we'll pray, and then they're going to lead us in worship to close this morning. God, we just thank you so much. Oh God, we thank you so much for the way that you have just invited us into your kingdom, invited us into your work of reconciliation, invited us into your ministry to see lives changed and transformed by the power of the gospel and by the power of the Holy Spirit. And so God, we just trust you with that. We keep leaning into that. We're going to keep saying yes. We're going to keep showing up. And God, if there's people in the room today who need to give their life to you, I pray that today's the day that they say yes. I pray that today's the day that they take a next step and keep walking with you. And it's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen and amen.